evening, everyone, from a very excited, slightly worried, but much better now that we've, Norm's done his thing and beaten everything into shape, put the fires out, and we're back. Yes, we love Space Team. We loved the Space Team. And thanks to Barry and Uncle Phil, we've had a mega dose of intro on the show this week and a little bit of space.
We've had time to digest the big meal that the Pilots Federation dished up earlier.
You won't complain about the length of my intros next time, will you, Vantia? And on top of that, we're only half-baked.
My friendship jive has charged.
And I'm back from fighting the phlebotomists.
And now it's time, finally, for the news.
Button, Rescue Ranger.
Rock Shock Robber Clobbered.
Elite Fleet Carrier Fleet Meet and Greet Treat.
Varan Drama Llamas and Space Piranhas.
No more Nobex as radio goes all a little bit bobbit.
Atrus has a cunning plan.
We didn't lose, but lose catching up fast.
And Norm is getting ready to bash her beater.
There are Hutton truckers. There are Utter Truckers, there are Utter Nutter Truckers, and then there is the Asylum. No, not the one with the padded walls, good drugs and soft music. And no, we don't mean that one on the banks of the Thames designed by Pugin. Nor the Isolation Recuperation Station over at Hand Asylum, where the Federal Onanists faction get over their tennis elbow. We're talking about our Asylum. Commander Asylum, a one-pilot rescue ranger division of Hutton. After a distress call flashed up on his shipboard computer, and seeing both the damsel who was in distress, plus notification of a number of children in dire need of food and educational materials, he girdled his loins, strapped his Hutton-approved underwear on the outside, threw a nearby blanket over his shoulders as a makeshift cape, and sprang into action. Flying his trusty buck-naked-approved Lakon Type 7, complete with the enormous forehead and bullhorns, he raided the nearest agricultural outpost of its agroponic-grown vegetation, staples and digital paper, and headed at maximum shift for the location of the distress call. Whereupon he and his trusty limpets unloaded the contents of the sparge at the stricken outpost, single-handedly curing famine, drought, and infrastructure failure in a single load. Alvin has nominated the Asylum for a special award, to be pinned to his broad chest next time we're allowed to actually meet each other in person, and dispensation to use the special docking port at Hutton Orbital. Why do Hutton truckers do the things that they do? Of course, it's for the mug. But when, like Asylum, you've already got one, you do it as being a Hutton trucker means doing the hard stuff, because you can. Next week, the Asylum is intending to solve the galactic ice problem, fight off the Thargoids with one pulse laser tied behind his back, and repair all 40 stations at once using only a Sidewinder.
On Sunday, Commander I Am Legacy performed a manoeuvre to be proud of. Out in an asteroid field, minding their own business, quietly mining void opals and low-temperature diamonds. Yes, we know, but needs must when the fleet carrier drives, apparently. When one of the Don's dastardly Kimura pirates hove into view, demanding cargo. Now, we've all been there, had that happen to us, and the usual response is to run away or to shoot the pirate if you have a ship that's suitably equipped. Neither of these were good enough for Commander I Am Legacy. They acceded to the pirate's demand for 7 tons of cargo, abandoning them where they sat next to the asteroid. Then, whilst the Corsair was snuffling around, trying to pick up the cargo containers, Our clever commander calmly backed up a few meters and initiated the countdown for the charges which they had already placed in the asteroid. 10 seconds later, the result was one rock and one pirate, both blown to pieces, and Commander I Am Legacy had gained several low-temperature diamonds, their jettisoned canisters of void opals, and a huge self-satisfied grin. Now, that's the kind of combat that even Flossie could get behind.
Earlier this evening, the Pilots Federation performed a deep dive into their latest galactic release, the Fleet Carrier. As mentioned on the radio show last week, these behemoths of the black, these supersized space whales, these gargantuan gigaships, are soon to be unleashed from the shipyards of the Brewer Corporation for commanders whose bank balance has more zeros than a box set of Terrahawks, and more digits than a polydactyl pterodactyl from the Dastardly Don's base on Jurassic World. Yes, a mere 5 billion credits will buy you a license to manage one of these mobile stations, complete with your own docking base for you and your friends, repair facilities, a commodity market, complete with your own purchase orders for much needed goods, and yes, we know you need those performance enhancers for medical reasons, a storage space for your prized cargo, and of course a range of offices for the various black market shady types, legal eagles, and bondsmen. How much the additional services will cost remains to be seen, but these floating palaces are set to be the retirement home of many a fabulously wealthy pilot. But how are Hutton going to be using them, and what shenanigans can we get up to? It appears that the ships are capable of a maximum cargo haul of 25,000 tons, or one half a hot mess. But as it stands, the Pilots Federation have placed an embargo on the carrying and storage of rare goods. And that includes the Hutton mug and our fable Centauri Megagin. Cecil is said to be devastated. Or he would be if he could actually afford one. There has been a huge rise in the number of pilots applying to crew one of these vessels instead of taking their life into the hands as an SLF pilot. Though we understand that it's quite a lucrative career, being paid to sit on your bum and not do very much at all. This all sounds a little familiar. With the likely situation that only one fleet carrier can be in orbit around any one stellar body at a time, which commander will be first to park a floating limpet supply ship and big pad staging post around Eden, eager to help fellow truckers with somewhere to park their free anaconda? We will be following very closely. Who will be the first to put one on Sagittarius A star or Beagle Point? Is anyone brave enough to venture into Thargoid space or put one in a bit of a spin around Mitterrand Hollow? We're reassured by the Pilots Federation that they're invisible to Thargoids by virtue of their new ammonia-based paint. Just don't go licking the hull. On the subject of paint, we're expecting them to be available in a variety of interesting colours, from massive mauve to giant green, and of course preposterous pink, with polka dots. With a mobile shipyard at their disposal selling approved ships, will Buck be getting his own floating Lacon showroom? Will the Empire have a Spaceborne and Summers catalogue of suggestively shaped ships? More later from both Flossie and Commander Witherspoon, but in the meantime, we're excited about what silly shenanigans and tomfoolery we can get up to.
With only an estimated 3% of commanders in the galaxy wealthy enough to be putting in a pre-order for their very own space barge, a number of systems in the bubble have come under intense scrutiny as a result of being diamond places to mine your diamonds. Pilots have discovered that the Baran system has a triple-decker, super-stacked, overlapped vein of diamonds hiding in its rings, and it's been busier than a supermarket queue during an outbreak lockdown. Many billions of credits have been mined, and pilots eager for the best prices for their lady's best friend, their sparkly finger trimming, have been hunting systems that are currently in public holidays and pirate attacks to pawn their hold. There are rumours that the Pilots' Federation have converted Shinra to Desra to run on a new material. No, it's not tritium. It's salt. Mountains and mountains of salt. Harvested from the Galnet forums and the many pilots who are upset that they can't both have their cake and eat it. Yes, if you're buying one of these magnificent marvels of multipad madness, you might actually have to pay to run it. Which of course is trivial if you put it somewhere handy, have a master plan and encourage people to visit your mobile market. Of course, if you buy one just as a willy-waving trophy exercise, you're going to end up very poor and very quickly at that. So we have some advice for everyone. There's a new item on the list of things never to do. Never stick your head in anything marked head remover. Never fly without a rebuy. Never enter an arse-kicking contest with a porcupine. And don't put your fleet carrier somewhere silly, or the Pilots Federation will be sending someone along to extract it with extreme prejudice and probably an angle grinder. For further information on mining, please contact Commander Amelia Hawk, Hutton Mining Corporation. Out at Hutton, somewhere near Seoul.
We have some sad and disturbing news tonight. Our Nobex is about to drop off. Nobex is not, as you might have guessed, the one between Knob W and Knob Y. Nobex is, in fact, the engine behind the Hutton Orbital radio app that many of you have installed on your portable communications devices, and Nobex will soon be an ex-knob, we are sorry to say. Fear not. No need to wail, gnash your teeth, or breathe a sigh of relief, depending on your view. But, to be honest, if you don't like the show, then why are you listening now? As you will still be able to keep up with the news, views, shenanigans, and our questionable choice of music via TuneIn, or an interweb browser at radio.forthemug.com.
Good evening, trackers. Atrus 5060 here. I've had a wonderful idea. I've sent a message over to Operation IDA, or is it IDA, with an idea. Why don't we all buy one of these lovely fleet carriers, load it up with all the things we need to fix a station, then unload the whole lot at once, right in Tharg's face. There's no new invasion to talk about this week. We're pretty sure that Operation AXI are keeping themselves busy, putting the boot in properly. Keep tracking, everyone, and don't forget for the mug.
It's rubbish, isn't it? I go and donate an armful to help support a system in outbreak, and it all kicks off with a complete state everywhere. I eat my token-free biscuit, and then this week, well, I'll start with Colonia, where things mostly seem pretty stable, with Il Procol Centauri and Deriso in the low 40s, and both in civil liberty and boom states. Just how we like it. We won the elections, and thank you to all the commanders that took part and did their bit on Hutton Moon. Tyr, however, appears to be on an exceedingly rapid upward trajectory, with King Hanky reporting an influence of 1,538%. Now, either Hot Coal have been doing an unprecedented amount of work, or bloody hell, he has. The bastard. That bloody Hanky's been at my drinks cabinet. Right, kill on sight orders on all of Hanky's clones, please. Spiralling influence my arse, under the influence, and on my bloody booze. Right, okay, in the bubble, where the booze cabinets are properly protected, everything is peachy. No systems over 60% and only three under 40. So if you can all give a bit of a boost to Hill Parsi, Kokiri, and, you're not going to believe this, LHS 340. Yes, For one day only, LHS 340 is open. Fruity, go and chloroform Drew Peacock before he gets wind of this, will you? There's a good chap.
Alvin would like to make it very clear that Hutton Orbital Truckers do not condone PvP actions of any description without the full consent of both parties. And a formal biting will apply to anyone who takes Lou's comments seriously. Lou himself will be reporting to Alvin's kennel immediately after the show.
Okay. Over to Norma then.
As one community event enters its final phase, Flossie will update you on Operation Hot Mess later on. We bring you a new one, an occasion for which the word event is too small. This is the biggest thing since Horizons came over the horizon. This is beyond, beyond. This is a coming together of commanders in an adventure that will send you scurrying to the dictionary to be sure that you correctly understand the word hyperball. We are going to hutton the shiz out of the fleet carrier beta and try to break the galaxy. We want to try even more combinations than I found in that illustrated book that Lou keeps locked away in his drawer. We want to put things in and take them out in ways that the Pilots Federation couldn't even dream of. Then we want to pick it up and give it a thorough licking for good measure. We will be starting on April the 7th. A date in which it'll be easy to spot hotbox commanders, as they'll be the ones whistling nonchalantly saying, "We didn't want to play anyway." We'll have further news of what we're trying in our usual channels once the beta starts, and we'll bring everyone up to date during VECM. Which brings me on to the second community event, VECM. We'll bring you more details later in the show, but I've been asked to tell you, because Flossie's too modest to bring this up, that she is our badge supremo. If you find her in Second Life, she has created a jewellery shop where you can get your own VECM badge.